John chapter 6 tonight, if you please turn there in your Bibles. John chapter 6. You'll find our text tonight in verses 14 through 21. John chapter 6, verses 14 through 21. John 6 and verse 14. Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000 men and their families. Notice the reaction of the crowd. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come down or not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, it's about between three and five miles, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Again, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause. Father, tonight we come, and as we see another miracle, Jesus walking on the water. Lord, for us today and the day we live in and all the technology, Father, we can picture that, we can see that. But for these first century disciples, Lord, it was a fearsome thing. What scared them more was not so much the storm they were in, the fact they'd never seen this side of the power of the Son of God. He had begun to slowly reveal himself to them, and this was just overwhelming to them. Lord, I ask tonight as we come that you'd help us to see a side of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have never experienced in our own lives, that our faith would be greater and bolder. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. In feeding the 5,000, that's in verses 1 through 13, feeding these 5,000 men and their families, Jesus manifested God's power publicly as he broke the bread. But now, why did he send his disciples away? Well, verse 14 answers it for us because of what it was getting ready to take place. And Jesus purposely sent his disciples away to protect them from the crowd. Well, think about some of the disciples. How about the ambitions of Judas Iscariot? I mean, he was ready to be the treasurer of the whole country because he wanted Jesus to be a military Messiah. And when it didn't work out that way, well, he's the one that sold him because he wanted to get something out of this, all that he'd been doing for the 3 years when he sold Jesus to the religious crowd. How about the impetuosity of Simon Peter? Peter was always ready to go. You remember in the garden when they came to arrest him? He had an 18-inch sword and he took off. He was going for the guy's head, the ear of Malchus, but he only got his ear. What about the zeal of Simon the Canaanite? He was a zealot who'd turned disciple. What about the tempers of James and John? You've got all of this brewing in these disciples. Remember, Jesus has not yet been crucified. He's not yet ascended. The Holy Spirit has not yet come. It's not Pentecost yet. So these men are still living in the flesh, doing the best they can to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But it would never do for these disciples to fall in with the wishes of the crowd and try to force the hand of Jesus into accepting the fact that they wanted him to be king. That was not his intention. That's not the Father's will for his life. So again, the power of Christ has been witnessed publicly, but now in this next phase of his life, in this fifth miracle, if you please, his power is going to be manifested privately. The disciples, they're in that third year, things are starting to come along, and because Jesus in John chapter 2, he's already told us that he knows what's in a man, he can read a man's heart, he can read their intentions, he's having to sort of teach them a significant lesson. They still think that he's special. They've got that part down. They know that he can do certain things. They've been out preaching. They've been out, they've done some healing. These disciples have. And they've seen the Lord do some marvelous things. But yet, they still have not grasped the fact that he is, the fact that he's Almighty God in the flesh. Even today, there are some folks who struggle with the fact that Jesus was God walking on the face of the earth. As we look at our text tonight, the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were going to fill in some of the gaps. Again, when John's writing his Gospel, he's writing it for one reason and one reason alone. He wants to prove the deity of Christ, that Jesus was God. But the other Gospels, they will come along, and they don't contradict each other. So I'm going to be going back. I'll go to Matthew 14 and Mark chapter 6, and I'll just read some scripture there that ties in this whole story tonight as I narrate it to you. For example, in Matthew chapter 14, 22 and 24, it informs us that Peter gets out of the boat and goes to Jesus during this storm, this episode that we see here in John chapter 6. John doesn't mention that. John, I was reading behind Warren Wiersbe, and he said, probably because, it's not about Peter making a mistake or Peter having a lack of faith. This was about Jesus walking on the water. So the spotlight is on Jesus as the Son of God walking on the water, coming to the disciples. So they figure that's why John may have left that out. Mark did not record that. Matthew did, because Mark is writing after Peter. He got most of his information from Peter as he wrote his gospel, and he would not want to leave Peter in a bad light. Of course, I don't look at it that way either. I think what Peter did, number one, he got out of the boat, and everybody else is still in the boat. You say, yeah, but he began to sink. Peter got out of the boat. That's important. He didn't stay in the boat with everybody else. And who was there to save him? Who was he going to? He was going to Jesus as he was walking on the waves. So the disciples in our text tonight, disciples are sent away by Jesus. Remember that. That's important. The crowd's being dismissed, and Jesus goes up into the mountain for a time of spiritual refreshment. But remember this. In Mark chapter 4, we talked about this the other week. Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. They're out on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. And this time, Jesus is with them, but what is Jesus doing? He's asleep in the boat. And so you got to have all this together. That's why it's important to, if you've got a harmony of the Gospels, this will really help you. If not, you've got to know what your Bible says. So in Mark 4, they're on the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes up, and the men began to try, and finally they wake up Jesus because he's with them in the boat, and they said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you love us? We're about to drown. So Jesus stood up, and what did he do? He said, shh, and the waves calmed down. And Peter said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Peter, this is nothing. You haven't seen anything yet. And it's not that he's the greatest show on earth. No. It's not that. You're going to see greater things than this. And what were the greater things? Not miracles, not feeding people, but seeing people changed by the power of God being saved. That's the greatest miracle. So here we are now in chapter 6 of John. And again, Jesus sends them down. Know this now, because his omniscience, he's all-knowing, Jesus is sending them down knowing that a storm is going to come. Now let's stop for a moment. Would God intentionally send you through a storm? By all means. Well, now wait a minute. Now, that's not the God of love that I know. Then you don't know the God of the Bible. You say, well, it's just a storm. Yeah, unless it's your storm. Oh, well, that's different then. So the Lord intentionally sends them down into this storm. But what's missing this time from Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 6? What's missing this time? Jesus is not with them this time. That's important. But Jesus is going to do what? You're going to see it in a minute, because between Mark and John, you're going to see this whole picture. And the truths here, they're simple. And yet, in the midst of a storm, they're easy to forget. Okay? One man said this, what kind of conversation was in the boat before the storm broke? Okay? Jesus sends them down, puts them in the boat, and says, go over. He's really telling them to go home because Capernaum was their home base. Go home, go to Capernaum. Jesus dismisses the crowd, and he goes up to the mountain. Okay? So they get in, and they're thinking, okay, the sun's going down. It's going to take us a few hours. You know, if there's not much breeze, it's going to take us a few hours to float over there. They've got about a 5-mile trip maybe a six-mile trip. And so they're thinking, it's going to be a nice moonlight night, and so we'll just take our time. And so they're out there, and they're probably talking on the Sea of Galilee. So what would they be talking about? One man said, maybe they're excited that at last the crusade is finally getting underway. They've seen the healing, they've seen the teaching and the preaching, but now it's time for the real action to begin. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men and their families, and the people, these Galileans, they are enthusiastic, and there's 5,000 men. That's a small army. Maybe we could get all this together, and Jesus could have a triumphal entry down in Jerusalem. Could you see these guys getting all lathered up in the boat? And we could go down there, and man, we could run off the Romans, and we can get our country back, and we can be free again. That's what we need. We need to do it. We need to get started on this. Then the wind begins to blow. Two observations before we begin our study. This miracle, because it's going to be done in private with just the disciples, it's not only for those disciples in the first century, but it's also for you and me in our day. The time for the death of Christ is looming large on the horizon. And you know how the disciples, I mean, Peter is going to just come unglued. He's going to say, Lord, I am not going to let this happen. I will go to prison with you. I will fight for you. I will die for you. And Jesus tells him, do what? Simon, you're acting just like the devil. Get behind me. Now, why would he say that? Because it was God's purpose and intention for Jesus to come to the earth to die. And Peter says, I'm not going to let that happen. Well, Satan didn't want Jesus to die because that would stop God's will. This was for them. His disciples still had much to learn. Again, remember, words mean something. In chapter 6, verse 16, it says, and when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. One man said that the only way they could go when they were so much out of fellowship and not in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ was to go way down, to go away from him. Not on that mountaintop where Jesus was, but to go way down. They needed to get to that needy place so that Jesus could pick them up again, remind them who he is, why he has come, and what only he alone can do for them. Now, there's some powerful truths wrapped up in that. When you and I are out of fellowship with the Lord, we're not going up to Jerusalem. We're not going up in our minds to heaven to have fellowship. Where are we going? When we're out of fellowship with God, we're going down. We're going away from him. That's important. He's taking them down. He's allowing them to go down to a needy place. So for one reason, that they would see Jesus in all of his glory. Secondly, look in verse 17. It says, and they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. In their self-confidence, they had no thought of disaster. They thought it was just going to be another boat ride across the Sea of Galilee because some of them were fishermen. They'd been out there all the time. They knew the ways of the water, if you please. Peter, he knew he could sail a boat. His fishing partners were with him. A moonlight cruise, but they were about to have a sudden awakening. Stormy weather was ahead. It's now dark, and Jesus is not with them. Have you ever been in a real dark place? I may have told you this, but this is probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard, because it wasn't me, it was Adrian Rogers. Dr. Rogers was, he was pastoring a church in Satellite Beach, and I said he was down there, and they were building a new Sunday school building, and said, so one night, it was after Wednesday night, he said he went over there, he just wanted to see what was going on, and said the lights were all out, so he opened up a door, and he propped it, and the light coming from the street light was shining down a hallway. So he walked in, and he was trying to look around. He said, I don't know much about construction. He said, I was walking in and looking around, and all of a sudden, what he had propped the door up with, it fell off, and the door shut behind him. Well, he went back, and now he's locked in the building. He said, boy, that place got spooky real fast. It got spooky. He said, so I'm walking around. He said, he'd find a window, and he'd look at the window, and he'd try to find some light, and he's trying to find a door with, you know, one of those pressure things like we have so that you can get out. So he's walking down the hallway, and he stopped, and not really sure where he was in the building. He said he stopped, and all of a sudden he looked up, and there was like a skylight, and there was a little bit of moonlight, some streetlight coming in. He looked up. He said there was a guy standing right there looking at him. And every time he'd move, that guy'd move. And he was an athlete, and he says, I'm getting ready to run. So he kept looking, then he started laughing. He was looking in a mirror. It can get spooky when you're in there all by yourself. Now watch this. Now in our whole text tonight, which gospel you go to, whether it's Matthew 14 or Mark 6, it says it's dark and a storm is coming. Pitch black. In the first century, they didn't have candles that would stay lit during a storm. So imagine being out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the waves are up and down, and the wind's blowing, and it's howling, and you got all this going on. How in the world could they see anything or anybody walking on the water coming toward them? Had to be with lightning. It's the only way. So when that lightning would crack, it would light up everything, and they would see it, and there'd be bits and pieces, and they had no idea where they were. So you got all of this going on, and now these men, they are on their own. Why is that? They're going to have to use their own resource. They're on their own. They're going to have to use all of their skill or they are going to drown in the Sea of Galilee, the place where some of them made their own living. So what's the real problem? Well, back in Mark 4, who was in the boat with him? Even though he was asleep, he was still there. Jesus is not with him in the boat. What was it that Jesus had to tell them even before his ascension? He said, I will always be with you. He's going to teach them about the Holy Spirit, John 16, how the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come, and that the Holy Spirit can't come, God the Holy Spirit can't come until Jesus does what? Ascend into heaven. So they're trying to figure all this out in their heads. Now, it's one thing to be sitting in a classroom and somebody teaching this. You say, well, yeah, I can understand that, but how about out on the Sea of Galilee when the boat's going sideways and being tossed around like a cork it's just horrible, and lightning and thundering. And all it takes is one or two to get real nervous, and they're probably arguing with each other. You got us out of here. It's your fault. You got all this stuff going on. And bottom line, what we're told is that they forgot about Jesus, and they really weren't looking for him, because when they do see something coming across, one of the Gospels says they thought it was what? A ghost. They thought it was a ghost. It was Jesus. Now let's look at all this here. Verse 18. Here's the dread. The sea arose, the wind's blowing out of the north, they're halfway across the Sea of Galilee. And Mark 6:48 says, and Jesus, this is important, and Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. A couple of things. They're rowing, they are laboring, they're toiling. I mean, it's hard labor. And if you've ever been in a boat and you've ever been out on the water when there's a storm, you don't turn and let the boat drive, the wind drive you. No, you've got to turn that bow into the wind, because if not, you're going to be in trouble because you don't know which way. You have to keep going forward. So they are laboring with their backs, and they're doing everything they can to row into the wind. Okay? Keep that in your mind. But what else is going on? I just read it to you out of Mark 6:48. Who's watching all this? The Lord Jesus is. Remember, he's the one that sent them. And he's the one that knows the storm's coming. And he's the one that's watching everything that's going on. James Montgomery Boyce says the reason why he watches is so that he can help us. When he tells us in Hebrews 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's more to that than just the fact that, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on you. No, I'm not going to keep an eye on you. I'm watching every step that you take, every breath that you breathe. I'm watching. Okay? The storm overtook him. Mark 6, you need to turn and look at this verse. Mark 6, 51 and 52. Mark 6, verse 51. There's some more truths here. We're not getting ahead of the story because you know how it all turns out. Mark 6, 51. And he went up unto them into the ship. We'll come back to that in a moment. And the wind ceased. When he got in the boat, the wind stopped. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They're speechless. Now watch verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was what? Hardened. See, they were in the middle of a storm. And folks, they were not just a few hours away from watching Jesus feed 5,000 men and their families. 5 loaves of bread and 2 sardines. And they didn't even think about what had just happened. A couple of things. Number one, they weren't thinking about miracles and they weren't looking for Jesus. Because as long as he's not there in their presence and he's not doing something, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. Now watch this, church. This is one of those gotchas. When you leave this place tonight and you get on the highway and you're going home and somebody comes up behind you and aggravates you and you think about a little road rage, are you thinking about Jesus? Are you thinking about the miracle that you just saw and heard? Think about the fellowship you had tonight. See, we want to say, these disciples, I mean, they've got to be some spiritual morons. How can they not see all that God has done? Be careful there. We do the same thing. It's almost like if God is not doing something in me every second of every way, it's so easy to do what? Just we're prone to wander and we forget and we just slip away. We get back into the flesh. We get back into the world. We get back into our routines and we just forget. Well, let me show you something else. Look down in verse 49 of Mark 6. Well, verse 48, Jesus saw them toiling. The wind was contrary unto them. And again, about the fourth watch of the night, which is about midnight, he came. He's coming unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Now, there's another phrase there, and it says, the last part of verse 48, and he would have passed by them. Now, here are the guys. They're rowing. You have to picture this now. The wind's coming this way. They're keeping the bow of the boat. They're rowing because, you know, you can't row frontwards. You got to row. So they're rowing like this, and they look up, and guess who's walking on the water? And he's walking into the wind, and he's catching up with them, and he's going to walk by them. Who's that? Storm doesn't mean anything to the Lord Jesus. He's just walking. Wind's blowing. He's just walking. And they're over there, and they're toiling, and they're laboring, and they're probably screaming and yelling, carrying on. And then finally, when they looked up and they began to recognize him, that was the invitation for Jesus to say, it's me, don't be afraid. It's me. Back over in John 6, it says, and when, look, go back to John 6, it says in verse 21, and they willingly received him into the ship. Now remember, Peter says in Matthew 14, Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you. That's how they recognized it was Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Now, Peter, do you have your swimmies on? He didn't say that. Peter, I don't know, Peter. No, he simply said one word. Come, Peter. Out of the boat. He's going toward Jesus. Then what? You know what happened? Lord, save me. Boom. When they willingly saw that it was Jesus, they did what? They welcomed him into the boat. Now, here's the point. As soon as he gets in the boat, what happens to the wind? It stops. And as soon as he gets in the boat, they're so overwhelmed. And space-time and all that, it just kind of disappears. And when he gets in the boat, all of a sudden, they finish the journey. They're at the shoreline. It doesn't say they kept on rowing. It says the trip was over. Jesus had sent them down into the Sea of Galilee, and he told them to go where? Go home. Okay? They're going to Capernaum. And Jesus made sure they got there, and they got there safely. They're wet, but they got there. They're tired, but they got there. All right? Here's the point. I'm going to wrap this up now. When you get saved, what does he promise you? You're going home. One day, you're going home. And along that path of going home, we're going to run into some storms. But who's watching us? The Lord Jesus is watching us all along the way. And there's times that we kind of get distracted and we're not looking for him and we're not really thinking about him. And then it's almost like we see him and we see him from a distance and he looks familiar, but we're not sure. And then we cry out and we welcome him. And what does he do? When we willingly allow him, he comes and he joins us. And being in his presence is such an incredible, listen, thrill and overwhelming peace that before you know it, we're home. I know folks who've been sick for months, cancer, just heartache. But to them, it's just like the moments passed by. Why? Because the Lord is there in his presence and he's seeing them through it. And it's just, you know, people say, well, how long has this been going on? Oh, it's been going a little while. And someone said, oh, it's been going 18 months. Well, it just seems like a short time. Why? Because Jesus has been with me all the time. Why? He's taking me home. He's ushering me home. He's going to make sure I get home. I'm going home. Truths. When it gets dark, he's the light. When I go down away from him, he comes down to where I am and he brings me back up. That's the Savior that he is. And he promised that he never leave me nor forsake me. You want me to translate that? He promised that he never leave me alone when I try to run away. Oh, man. I'm just not going to play today. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. He's got you. He's going to take care of you. One last thing. Look back again in verse 21. And then they willingly, this is in chapter 6 of John, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Translated, that's the place they were going to. Because he had sent them into the storm, he was with them through the storm, and he made sure they got to the place that he had intention for them to go to. It's the same thing with you and me. A couple of weeks, we got some people that are going over Southeast Asia. All we know is he's telling us to go. So what are you going to do when you get there? Don't have any idea. Think there might be a few storms? Probably. Think there might be? Could be. But you know what's going to make that journey so much fun? Literally fun and joy. It's because he's promised us that he's going to go with us and he's going to remove anything. If anything happens, he's going to take care of us. So we're going to be okay. But the most important thing is not that we sit around and talk about it. Well, I don't know if we ought to get, did you check the weather? I don't know. Let's see. Peter, did you call up Weather Channel? Did you talk to Jim Cantore and find out if we need to be going and doing this? I mean, is he going to be standing out there hanging on to a sign in a 100-mile-hour wind and telling you, don't do this at home? No, they didn't have a Weather Channel back then. And I don't need a Weather Channel. I just look outside. Yep, getting ready to get dark. Who knew? But seriously, they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. But the fun and the joy left them when they took their eyes off of him and they forgot about the miracle that he'd just done. They could have been talking about, instead of leading a revolution, they could have said, did you see how he prayed and all this bread and all this fish and we got 12 baskets left over? Did you see that? There's something else about him that we don't know yet, guys. We need to listen more. We need to stay close to him because he's telling us things and we're missing it. And we're just getting caught up in the miracles and we're missing the real truth here. We're missing it. Don't get caught up in just asking Jesus to do stuff for you. Learn who he is. Learn why he is who he is. Why? He's come to save us from our sins. But most of all, he's going to make sure that you get home. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be here tonight. We can open your word. We can feast upon it. And I pray that it has encouraged someone here tonight. Thank you for the sure foundation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to make sure we get home. Thank you that all along the way, on that journey, he's going to walk with us. He's going to help us through the storms. And he's going to bless us with his presence. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.